All right, Alexander, let's talk about Robert Mueller, Russiagate, and the latest news coming from this story. And, you know, it's a real shame, I don't know, for lack of a better word, that you have the corona stuff that's really just dominating the news cycle. And you have so many interesting news stories taking place that just aren't getting any kind of oxygen. And this is a very interesting story. The entire Russiagate unraveling is a very interesting story. I mean, we've known it's been unraveling for a while now, but now we're actually seeing the institutions and the people that were behind the Russiagate hoax, from CrowdStrike to Robert Mueller to, you know, the DOJ, they're all, the FBI, they're all starting to walk back all their claims that they made 3-4 years ago when they launched the entire Russiagate scandal, the Russiagate lies. And we did a video on CrowdStrike and how they're starting to walk it back. It's not getting much oxygen in the mainstream media at all, the CrowdStrike story. And now we've got this latest story with the troll farm in St. Petersburg, the alleged troll farm that tipped the elections towards Donald Trump by spending $4,000 in Facebook ads. But that's another story. We've documented that as well. But that's also getting walked back now. And once again, these stories are not getting any oxygen at all, but we're going to talk about it. So let me read you an excerpt from the Washington Examiner. And the headline reads, Justice Department cites national security secrets in dropping Mueller case against Russian firms. A federal judge allowed the Justice Department to drop charges against two Russian companies accused by special counsel Robert Mueller of funding social media disinformation efforts aimed at the 2016 presidential election. Concord Management and Consulting and Concord Catering, both run by a Russian oligarch named Yevgeny Viktorovich Prigozhin, were indicted in February 2018 for their role in funding the disinformation activities of the St. Petersburg-based Internet Research Agency, which Mueller report said, quote, carried out the earliest Russian interference operations identified by the investigation, a social media campaign designed to provoke and amplify political and social discord in the United States, end quote. But the Justice Department backed away from the prosecution, citing the evasiveness of the Concord companies, its refusal to provide information, and the potential for national security secrets to be revealed during the upcoming trial, scheduled to kick off in early April. Jury selection for the trial was only 2 weeks away. Alexander, let me just say one more thing that's on my mind. I think all this walking back of the Russiagate hoax is deliberate because of the corona news cycle. That's my hunch. I think all of this is not coincidence that all of this walking back of the 3-4 year Mueller, Comey, FBI, Strzok, Page, Russiagate hoax is now being slowly walked back. What do you think?
I think that's entirely right. I think this is the perfect opportunity to bury the fact that all of these allegations which have been made and which have been circulating are being gradually dropped one after the other. It's been done in a way that will attract least attention and least embarrassment to those who were behind these allegations. Now, I'm going to say something. First of all, can I just say that I actually feel particularly strongly about this particular indictment and this story about the so-called St. Petersburg troll farm and all of that, because you and I, we are people who work, we follow social media, we follow media generally, and we've never taken this story about the fact that, you know, there was supposedly all these people circulating stories on Facebook which allegedly changed an American election at all seriously. But some people, some very powerful people in the United States, either did, or perhaps even more sinister, pretended to. And that has become a pretext for a gigantic clampdown on people, on activity in social media. So, you know, before we had essentially a free internet, now partly as a result of these allegations, but largely as a result of these allegations, we no longer do. And we've spoken many times in our programs about the kind of pressure that, you know, channels like us come under. And, you know, we don't have to, others that we know about, including some very reputable channels and websites, have been absolutely hammered and have come out far worse. So this allegation against the St. Petersburg troll farm has done enormous damage, far more damage than is being appreciated. On the face of it, this may be a ridiculous story. It always was a ridiculous story. But if you want to talk about what about Russiagate has done the most harm, general harm, it's been this one. This has done a terrible amount of harm. Now, let's deal with this particular indictment. I remember when it came out in February 2018, I wrote a piece about it, which you can find on the Duran if you search hard enough. Google doesn't make it very easy any longer to find pieces that we write, but it's there, in which I pointed out that there were all kinds of problems with this indictment. Firstly, the indictment made no allegation that Prigozhin or his companies or the St. Petersburg so-called troll farm had any actual connection to the Russian government. That was one of the things that stood out to me instantly. I mean, it gave all the appearance of being a private enterprise activity. The second is that a lot of the activities that this so-called troll farm was involved in didn't frankly seem to be pro-Trump at all. Lots of them were pro-Clinton, and most of them seem to have no real connection with the US presidential election. So when people talk about, you know, they throw around numbers of, you know, $80,000, I've seen some people say $4,000 is probably closer to the actual number, amount of money that was spent. It's important to say that however much money Mr. Prigozhin and his companies were spending on this activity, only a fraction of this was pro-Trump. And what makes it even more bizarre and even more weird is that most of these posts that were complained about actually came out after the election. So their relevance to the whole issue of what was going on in the 2016 election is, well, it's not so much problematic. I mean, the allegation is ridiculous. Anyway, what do we now have? Mueller published this indictment in February 2018. This is at a time when his investigation was in its full pomp. It should never have started at all. We've now learned from Michael Horowitz and the FBI's Inspector General, and there's been a lot of other reports that have been circulating around now. We've found out that by January 2017, that's to say by the time that Donald Trump became president of the United States, when he was inaugurated, the FBI had all the information that it needed, that the whole Russia collusion scenario that Mueller was supposed to be investigating had collapsed. They knew that Carter Page was not involved with the Russians, that in fact he was a CIA asset. They knew that George Papadopoulos was not, you know, doing mysterious and wonderful trades with the Russians. In fact, you know, we still haven't got anywhere near to the bottom of the George Papadopoulos story. And what we're going to find out, I think, is not going to be in favor of the FBI. And we know that Christopher Steele's infamous dossier, the very same person who was its primary source by January 2017, was repudiating it. He was saying that Christopher Steele embellished it and spun what he had to say and made things out to be far more, he was saying things in the dossier which were not based on the things that he was being told. So there was no cause to continue with the Russiagate investigation in January 2017. In spite of that, James Comey comes along to the House Intelligence Committee in March 2017 and announces that this investigation is underway. In May, June 2017, after Comey is sacked, he orchestrates this campaign to get Mueller appointed so that the investigation can continue. This investigation, whose premise had disintegrated. Mueller is duly appointed, and in February 2018, he publishes this phony indictment. And I say it is phony because all the excuses that you read out to me, that the Department of Justice has come up with now for pulling this indictment with respect to these companies, you know, that it will be against national security to reveal them, that, Concord, the companies are not cooperating. Since when were defendants expected to cooperate? Cooperate in what respect? I mean, that's so ridiculous. That is such complete nonsense. I just wonder, I mean, the person who wrote that for the Justice Department, have they no shame? That's all I can say. I mean, this is so weird. Now, the fact is, they didn't have any evidence that they could disclose to a court or that they could disclose to a defendant, which in legal terms means that they had no evidence at all, because the only evidence that matters in a court is the evidence you can disclose. Since they didn't have that evidence, they should never have published that indictment. The only reason that indictment came out in February 2018, and I remember the time frame very well, is Mueller was starting to come under real pressure at that time. The Department of Justice and the FBI were coming under pressure because the Republicans were becoming increasingly skeptical. Nunes at the House Intelligence Committee was asking questions. There was that famous memo. People don't remember it now, but the memo in which Nunes said that there'd been massive Pfizer abuse. So what does Mueller do? He publishes this phony indictment to give credence to a Russiagate narrative, which by this time he knew and his investigators knew had no reality. This is a disgraceful affair, and it's done massive damage. And frankly, I hear that Prigozhin is talking about suing the DOJ. I hope he does. I hope this all goes to a court, and I hope the DOJ pays a lot of money for what has happened, because this has been a shameful episode in the history, the legal history of the United States.
Well, Mueller never expected Prigozhin to actually fight this, did he?
Exactly. That was the point.
That was the checkmate move.
That was the checkmate move. He never imagined that Prigozhin would come along, send his companies to, respond to the indictment, and of course, instruct lawyers. And by the way, he instructed exceptionally good, tough lawyers. And of course, Prigozhin, I don't like this expression, oligarch. Prigozhin has no political influence in Russia, despite what people say. But he's a very, very wealthy businessman with very deep pockets. So he could afford the best. And the United States, can I just say, has outstanding trial and defense lawyers, and they did a magnificent job for him. And they exposed this phony indictment as the bluff it actually is and always was. And a very manipulative bluff it was. And let's be absolutely clear, it was partly intended, as I said, to protect Mueller and the Justice Department and the FBI at the time when Nunes and the House Intelligence Committee and the Republicans were asking more and more questions. But it, of course, the other purpose it had was to damage and embarrass Donald Trump, which it did. And if you read newspaper articles that were appearing for months and years afterwards, we were reading about how Mueller had indicted 13 Russians and three Russian companies, and this supposedly proved the Russiagate narrative. By the way, they're still pretending, they're still saying, you know, that they still have, this indictment is still hanging over those 13 Russians. Rubbish, nonsense, if they ever appeared. All the same factors that have caused the indictment against the three companies to collapse would collapse against those people. Of course, they're not going to come, because they're not stupid enough to do so. they don't even want to be hauled off into a sort of Marina Butina type situation. But the reality is this case has collapsed. And that's all there is to say about it in legal terms.
Yeah. Mueller is so, he's so corrupt. So
the whole crooked. The whole thing
was just so corrupt, absurd.
Corrupt beyond imagination. And, you know, I come back to this is coming back to what you said right at the start.
The timing. I hate the timing of this.
The timing is terrible. And as you rightly say, somebody's using this crisis that we're in at the moment in order to bury the story, which is a great shame. I've seen one or two little articles appearing in the mainstream newspapers. The New York Times wrote a bizarre article in which they essentially, reproduced all the things that the Justice Department said as if they were not just excuses, but facts. I mean, you know, the Concord. No. Wasn't cooperating with the prosecutors. I mean, that's a reason for not holding a trial.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I hate about Capone because he didn't cooperate with the prosecutors. I mean, this is crazy stuff. I mean, I've never heard anything like that before. Carry on.
You know what I really hate about this, as well as Alexander, is that not even Donald Trump can tweet about this in essence because he's got so many other things to deal with. The one main thing to deal with, actually. Yeah. That even to tweet about this is inappropriate. Yeah, no. And I agree with you. You just can't even, not even the Trump administration or Trump himself can't even talk about. This is a huge story. This vindicates his entire campaign, his entire presidency. And it throws guilt on Mueller. And he can't do anything about it.
No, absolutely. You're entirely right. And as I said, I come back to what I was saying right at the beginning. I mean, we who, as I said, work in media, I don't like the expression alternative media, but let's use it for the moment. You know, our independent media, if you like, not the big mainstream media corporations.
Real
people like us, we have suffered because of this ridiculous story of the St. Petersburg troll farm and Russian disinformation. We've all been smeared by association with this thing, and not just us, obviously, but incredibly well-established, highly reputable sites and channels. Many of them, by the way, left-wing.
We got smeared. We got smeared in the media. We got hit financially. We got hit in our growth.
Absolutely.
We got completely demonetized
and de-accelerated. Yes.
We got crushed on this, all because Crooked Mueller decided to create some stupid story about a troll farm in Russia, and then everyone just, you know, freaked out about it, and they believed it at face value, and now it's proven that story is also completely false.
Or pretended that they believed it, because I'm sure that most of these people didn't believe it, actually. But they ran with it, people like
they ran with it.
Senator Warner and all those people, they all ran with it. And the result is, as I said, we don't have a free internet anymore. I mean, that's been massively damaged on a story, on a claim, which was utterly phony. Because I come back to what I said, evidence that cannot be produced in court is not evidence. It cannot be used to determine innocence or guilt or prove anything. I mean, we don't know what this evidence is. And quite frankly, I doubt that there is much.
And they're so sneaky that they troll this stuff out and they trot this stuff out now that the entire world is rightly fixated and rightly absorbed with this corona thing.
Yes, yes.
They're so sneaky. They're so effing corrupt. Anyway, Alexander, what's the next shoe to drop in the Russiagate hoax? What would you like to see revealed?
Well, there's a lot going on with Michael Flynn at the moment, and I mean, I think we're getting very close now to a situation where we're going to find out that the full nature of the setup around Michael Flynn. But the biggest story, the one that I think is really the thing that really struck me, is that apparently Republicans, now that they know that the FBI knew by January 2017 that there was no reality to the Russian collusion allegations, are asking what James Comey was up to in all those very strange meetings with Donald Trump, in which he was taking all those notes, because I think it's universally accepted, even by people who are sympathetic to Comey, that what he was actually doing was carrying out some kind of form of surveillance of Trump. So since he knew that Trump was not a Russian asset, what was he trying to do? Well, the best explanation I've seen, and the one I'm going to run with at the moment, is that he was already trying to create an obstruction case. And that was what that was all about. Yeah. So I think that, you know, provided, so long as, you know, we're able to continue to investigate this, I think Comey has some very important questions to answer. And I think we're going to find, I mean, if that is true, by the way, if he was trying to manufacture an obstruction case by basically carrying out surveillance on the president of the United States, manufacture an obstruction case, then that is massively wrong at multiple levels. And then I'm sure that if that could ever be proved, indictments would follow. But, you know, Alex, we are in a crisis now. That crisis is perhaps not going to go away immediately. We will see what the impact is going to be on the election. If Donald Trump doesn't win that election in November, and it's looking tough for him now, then, of course, all this will go away. All this will be lost. I mean, I think
Comey will be saved. Clinton will be saved. Exactly. Clapper, Brennan, and we're just going to go right back to the same swamp that Obama left us with.
Exactly. I think there will be a lot of anger and a lot of bitterness left. I think a lot of Republicans will not forget this, and they will not forgive it, and that they will be looking to get back at some point. But in terms of the investigations and getting to the bottom of what happened, you know, if we have President Biden in November, I mean, it's not going to happen. Or President-elect Biden, I should say. It's not going to happen. Having said that, you know, let's wait and see. And this event, the fact that this particular indictment has collapsed, you know, tells its own story in a way.
It's going to get worse, Alexander, for President-elect Biden, because he's a complete empty vessel.
Well, I agree with that.
The wars are going to ramp up. Stuff like Ukraine is going to ramp up. Tensions with Russia, with China.
I agree with that.
The money laundering, the regime changes, the Clinton foundations. No, there'll be a Hunter Biden foundation. There'll be all kinds.
I'm fully prepared to believe it. What I was saying is that, you know, the collapse of this indictment, which should never have been brought. You never issue an indictment unless you have the evidence to take to court, which you think will prove it. I mean, that's basic. You don't just issue frivolous indictments, and then when you're challenged to produce your evidence, you say, oh, well, actually, I can't produce the evidence because if I did, national security would be compromised, and, the defendant is not cooperating. I mean, you know, the fact that this indictment has collapsed is an important fact in itself, because for those of us who care, and I actually believe there's quite a few of us who care, this shows how phony this thing was. And of course, that's what we've been saying all the time. And it's good to know that we were right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Alexander McCurse, Editor-in-Chief of The Durant. Thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on that notifications bell. Smash that like button. Also, donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation helps keep this channel up and running. And download the Telegram app and subscribe to our Telegram channel. We post all the things that are going on around the Durant community on our Telegram community channel. So check that out, Telegram, Apple, and Google Play. And also go to the Durant shop, pick up some merchandise. Alexander, you're wearing the really nice blue polo, and I see you have a magic mug.
You're absolutely right. Can I first start with my magic mugs, this is my wife's favorite, by the way. You can see what a fantastic magic mug it is. It's got the coat of arms of the city of Moscow there, which is, of course, the double-headed eagle, which, as I always point out, is actually different from the Durant double-headed eagle. And you see there St. George, who is slaying the dragon of fake news and untruth which is what we in the Durand always do. And we've done it on this program. We've been doing this consistently. I mean, our Russiagate commentary, if I may say, has been outstanding. I think most people would agree. We've got it. We got it right. Very few people did. And, you know, even some of the more unusual little things we picked up on before anyone else did. I'm just saying. And it's, of course, not just got its magnificent coat of arms. It is a beautiful mug to hold. I've been drinking Russian caravan tea. It's been that kind of weather. And in the middle of these cold and, you know, worried times, I feel that it helps to keep coronas and things at bay. So it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Russian caravan tea. From a mug with a Russian coat of arms on it, and a Durand mug too, beautiful to hold, incredibly strong, beautifully light, the best mug you can get. And just to say again, no chips or cracks or discoloration anywhere, even though we've had it for over a year. But you're also right, Alex, to point to our magnificent Durand polo shirts, which I am wearing at the moment. I've actually been out and about today. I'm not letting events keep me entirely at home, though don't worry, I've been very responsible about whom I've been meeting and to make sure that I'm posed, you know, no dangers. So, but I was out and about, and I was obviously concerned to look my best, because I think at times like this, we need to look our best. And you cannot look better than when you're wearing a Durand shirt, a Durand polo shirt, because they are the best polo shirts you can find. They are beautiful. They are 100% cotton. They are beautifully put together. They're indestructible. I should say I've had mine for over a year and it really looks as good as you. And of course, they've got the Durand double-headed eagle, which is, as I said, is different from the Russian. It hovers over the world, looking at everything that goes on, both in the East and in the West. That's the two heads. So you can get these amazing polo shirts. There's different colors, but this is, as Alex rightly said, my blue one. And we also have, of course, long sleeve T-shirts, short sleeve T-shirts, V-neck shirts, also of comparable quality, all 100% cotton. We have hats, hoodies, and stickers. We have our books, including our book on Russiagate, which, you know, I said that, you know, we got it right. Well, if you go to that book, you will see how completely we got it right. But we also have covered Ukrainegate and Brexit and Epstein. They're all there in our ebooks. And as Alex rightly said, you support us by buying these things. And of course, you are the proud owner of them. And if you read our ebook and our You are also superbly informed. So don't hold back. Come to our shop. Support the Durand. Alex will tell you.
Just go to the durandshop.com. You'll find a link in the description box down below. Alexander Mercurs, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.